This is CliffCentral.com. Leadership Masterclass for a whole hour every Monday, 12 to 1. Put aside 1 hour as a leader. If you can't do it live with an early lunch every Monday, then at least download the podcast. We put great leaders in here, great panel, and we talk about leadership from all sorts of angles. And, of course, you can go to leadershipplatform.com, two P's in the middle, for a lot of articles on leadership and a lot of content and interesting input. Now we go to the second part of our master class. First one was a master lesson, and this is our master interview with a top leader, Mteto Nyati, the CEO of MTN just for a few months now, about six months.
6 months.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm sure it's been a baptism of fire. But it's great to have you in the studio. Thank you for setting the time aside. You have an interesting background. We won't delve into that too much, but it seems like good parents, qualified, did their best business. Mom jumped from teaching to being a businesswoman, and I just read successful. Dad had a master's degree in education.
Yes.
And so you grew up in a home that certainly encouraged intellectual stimulation and education. That seems like a good background.
Yeah, it was a great background for all of us in my family. And you can see, you know, they managed to produce two engineers, a doctor, and a couple of lawyers. So, you know, they really instilled on us the importance of education.
It's a great blessing. Mm. You seem to be, and maybe all your brothers and sisters were fairly gifted. You did well academically, represented South Africa at the International Science Olympiad in London. Wow. Mm. So science was your strong subject?
It was, and it still is, I guess.
Yeah,
it was such a great honor to be representing our country, more especially during those times, because
what year was that?
It was 1980.
Wow.
So during the apartheid time. So to be able to, you know, I was doing Bantu education, yeah, and be able to compete effectively with everybody else, it said something, you know, about commitment.
Yeah, Alice, I think that's a great story. Mm. You went on to study engineering at Natal, KwaZulu-Natal,
yes,
University.
Yes.
You had the opportunity to continue your engineering studies in Germany, but as I understand, your mother fell ill. You went the MBA route.
Yes.
Where did you do the MBA?
At Wits University. But yeah.
Hindsight, was that, I know you did it for different reasons, but was that...
It was a good thing, actually.
A blessing in disguise.
Yeah, the fact that I did not go, because I would probably have ended up being an academic. I've got nothing against academics, but when I look at the contribution that one is making, I don't think I would have been able to make the kind of contribution that I'm making.
Mm. Yeah. Your career was Afrox, and they helped you study, I think, to some degree.
Yeah, they cited me. They are the ones who gave me the bursary to go through,
yes,
university.
Engineering.
Yeah. So I worked for them for 7 years.
Tastic Rice, Nampac, IBM. You did really well at IBM.
Yes.
Became an executive there and did super well. Microsoft, MD or CEO of Microsoft for a couple of years.
Yes.
And then the jump to MTN, October 2014. That wasn't CEO yet. It was what, enterprise? Or?
Yeah, it was the group chief enterprise officer for MTN. And the whole purpose of that job is largely to help this company, which is called MTN, to start looking at new sources of revenue. As you're looking, and you can see that the voice revenue is coming down and the data is coming up, but the prices around data are not completely being able to replace the voice that you are losing. So you really do need to find new ways of making money as a company. And we felt that we needed to come up with offerings that help us to be able to sell to companies, to businesses.
Yeah.
So that was really my mission.
Okay, and then about June or July last year?
July last year, then I was... You know, I was like 9 months into what I was doing, and I was asked to come and take over MTN South Africa. But of course, it was a choice. You know, it was not like I was forced.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it, I felt like it's a great opportunity for me to take something that is not working and make that work, you know. And that has always been the thing that defined me, whether I was at Microsoft or IBM. I've always liked to fix things, you know.
Now, we'll come back to how you're approaching that, because Microsoft is a big name, but the size in business is obviously massive. Mm. How have you adapted? Alison Louis, you may not know this about Mteto. 2004, he was named as one of Yale University's World Fellows on Global Leadership. Ask him what that means. And in 2013, named the Male Business Personality of the Year in the Oliver Transformation and Empowerment Awards, which celebrates South Africa's Black Economic Empowerment Champions. So a couple of interesting awards there. What's this Yale one? Why that and what does that entail?
Look, each year, Yale University look globally. And they look for people who are in mid-career, so around 30s or 35, and look at identifying people who they would bet on and say maybe these people in the future, they may influence, they may be key leaders in their countries. You know, then they bring all of those people into Yale and share with them some of the big challenges that are facing humanity, things like democracy, energy crisis, you know, and all of these key things, the poverty, and they try and make and sensitize these leaders so that whenever they are taking leadership roles, and they should be able to bring all of that knowledge and align, you know, making business, good business, and also doing good, you know.
Okay, so now you've started as CEO of MTN SA.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time, Teto, in the industry, certainly in MTN's history. We know that they've had a few CEOs over just a couple of years. So you've come in, that stabilizing factor needs to be there. I guess one could talk about that all day. But
yeah.
What did you have to adapt to coming from a Microsoft? I know there was this gap in between, but leading a big brand, equal maybe in South Africa, I don't know. But then suddenly scale, this incredible scale of MTN, which you received a taste of being an executive for a few months. But what did you find most difficult, challenging or not? Or what's that?
Look, I think again, it's probably one of these myths that we were speaking about when you're looking at a company like Microsoft. I would tell you that Microsoft is much more complex as a business compared to MTN South Africa.
Okay.
Much more complex. It's a company that was serving, it continues to serve, on the one hand, advertisers, a group of customers. It's serving businesses.
Yeah.
It's also serving consumers. You know, when you are leading a company like that, you need to be able to manage all of these segments. You know, when you look at a company like MTN, it's largely a consumer business. So from a complexity standpoint, to me, I'm going into a relatively much more simpler organization.
Interesting.
When I'm going to MTN. However, in the future, MTN will be complex. You know?
Yeah.
So where I was, that's where we'll be. We are building an MTN that is now going to be addressing consumers. It's going to be addressing a business and digital. So the kind of future that we're going to is the kind of company that I was at Microsoft.
So it's visionary in a way, having you there as a leader. In that sense, eh?
It is. You know, I mean, for example, I'm going to look at a small thing like governance. You know,
yeah.
Governance. In a company like Microsoft, governance is a non-negotiable. You know, it's just something that you do. You know, when you go into a country, you've got to be able to look and assess the situation in that country. If you feel that you cannot operate in that country, you don't go into that country. Immediately you decide that you are going to be operating in a particular country, you need to respect. You know, comply with whatever that country is looking for. So the kind of challenges that we are going through right now in some of our countries in MTN, it kind of shows that we really do need to step up and grow as a business.
Yeah.
You know, grow up. Yeah.
Alice, you've been shaking your head.
Yeah, no, look, I've met Teto several times before, and I think his journey is all the great and interesting. Teto, my question to you is, you know, obviously you've had to look at innovation. I mean, Microsoft, scale, the complexity. I mean, that just must give you the adrenaline rush, I mean, to be in an organization of that nature.
Yeah.
Now, you come to MTN, a company, we could say its heydays are behind it. How ready is MTN for change, and how do you hope to drive that change?
You see, if you are working for any business, the first thing is you need to make that business to focus on what matters. And what matters? What matters is the customer. So if you get the business to be aligned and focusing on that and saying, are we relevant to the customer? And if the answer is, you know what, we are slowly becoming irrelevant, said, what is it that we need to do in order for us to remain relevant to that customer? What are the changing customer needs and what capabilities should we be bringing to this organization in order for us to be relevant? So that is the process we've been going through within MTN, where we're saying that right now we really do need to be much, much closer to our customers, have deeper understanding of their needs, and make sure that we either build or acquire capabilities that will help us to make this company to be relevant in the future, you know. So that is, how ready are we? The company, you know what has happened in Nigeria, it's a bad thing, but in a sense it's actually a good thing.
Humbles, doesn't it?
Yeah, it humbles, but at the same time it puts that sense of urgency. It becomes a burning platform at helping us, to people who are driving this change within MTN, say that we really do need to focus this business on customers, and we must make sure that we build the capabilities that will serve these customers. It helps that effort, you know.
Yeah. They'll take tough decisions, Alice, I guess, eh?
No, absolutely. I mean, the thing with MTN in particular, obviously, you know, as customers on the other end, we would think we know a lot about MTN because it impacts our life on a daily basis. You know, we're using, you know, their networks. But then what perhaps people might not understand is what has happened to take MTN the route that it's taken? Because, you know, when I visited the MTN campus over the years, I mean, I found a proud people who were happy at what they do. But, you know, suddenly we see strikes and, you know, endless commotion. One day MTN moves from being this regal, you know, brand to just being bandied about like any other tattered brand. So what has changed, you know, in terms of, you know, MTN being where it is at this point? Is it the culture? Is it,
you know,
getting big?
The key thing, and I'm going to go back to what I've said, the key thing in almost anything is about the customer. But even before you serve the customer, you really do need to look at your own people. How are you treating your own people? Because you can have great plans to be delivering great customer service, but if your people are not happy, there is no way that you'll be able to achieve your objective. So this is, I think, where we lost it at some point within MTN, where we may have thought, we believe that our people are our biggest asset, but their experience of us was completely different. You know? And that is my area of focus. I am focusing on making sure that the people start to believe in the MTN. Their experience of us is an experience where we say that we respect you, we understand you, we care about your ideas, we're integrating your ideas in terms of how this company should look like going forward, creating platforms for people to contribute to making this great company to succeed going forward. That is what has been required. That's what, if you go back now to MTN, you'll find an MTN that's different from the MTN of 6 months ago, because people are engaged. They are trying to build a new MTN and they are being listened to. That is what people of MTN want.
Because the DNA must still be there.
Yes. You know,
that pride, incredible brand, great South African story, that heritage, it's all there.
Yes.
Again, we talk about leadership management. Leadership brings that out. You know, that let's bring the pride back. Remember who we are, what we are. I mean,
people, when they talk about their blood is yellow, you know, that's the kind of pride that they have, you know. But somehow they were starting to believe that it's becoming something else, you know.
Let's not give it a color.
No.
It is a fascinating
story. Can I just
ask
a follow-up question to this point?
Absolutely.
So having assimilated all this information and knowing what needs to be done, are there any other organizations out there in the world in your space that you are using as a template of sort to sort of say, we want to be like these people because this is what they've accomplished?
I would say that sometimes we tend to look at the industries that we're in and think that the answers lie there. My sense is that our answers lie outside of the industry, because if you go through almost all of the telcos, we are going through the same challenge. You know, we need to significantly transform ourselves. What would you want, though, is to go through, because we're in a different phase of our own development as a company. I look at the time when I joined Microsoft. At that time, you had people who believed of this great Microsoft, but the customers out there, they had lost faith in Microsoft. You know, so you needed people who would now are much more hungry, who are going to go out there and push the agenda of Microsoft versus just waiting for the orders to come. That is the phase where we are at MTN right now. You know, the orders are not just going to come. We need to go out there. We need to be able to fight. We need to build a new value proposition for our customers. You know? So we need to look at how other industries, as they mature, have transformed themselves, you know, and use that as the template to help us as we move forward.
Hard in terms of learning from others, Jeter, some time ago I wrote an article about McDonald's locally, and I tried to analyze. I went to local, even top people were there, I remember, but the local, just a local kind of shift manager. Then I found that what they're really doing, they're employing people who can smile. And that seems odd, but quite frankly, in terms of that, the people who could smile, they were naturally able to smile. So they were completely consumer-oriented in that sense.
Yes.
They're employing people who could smile. And this is, in a sense, what you're working towards, that people that can smile at the customer, not afraid of him, not avoiding the customer.
Engage the customer.
Engage the customer.
You know. You also are looking at, you know, when you look at some of our systems were designed to protect the big MTN, you know, from, you know, theft and this. But you need to ask yourself, how are these systems helping us to serve the customer? You need to look at it from the customer perspective. And if the systems or processes are not serving that purpose, you need to have the courage to get rid of those systems. And that is the kind of journey that you are going through right now. We're taking, I'm just going to use an example. If you want to be an MTN customer, you had to go through a 15-page document, you know, an application form. You know, right now, that application form is 7 pages. 6 of those 7 pages is terms and conditions. So basically, it's just one. You know, you have to be prepared to challenge the kind of things that have made you who you are.
Bureaucracy.
You know, yes. We are working on process by process. It may sound boring, but that's the only way.
But Mteto, you have to become agile. I mean, MTN may have become this big bureaucratic engine, lots of policies and procedures, and it's almost like the structure, the tail is wagging the dog kind of thing. Yeah. Are you doing that then? You're simplifying so that you can move faster, because now you're competing in smaller businesses.
Yes. You know, there is an initiative called, it's about simplification. And there are three areas that we're trying to simplify. It's processes, it's systems, and it's products. If you look at the number of products that we have, it confuses the number of our customers. You know, so we need to simplify and simplify. But there are so many people emotionally attached to the stuff that we had produced in the past. Just to get rid of some of these things is not easy, but we have to.
So you have to do unpopular things.
Yes. And sometimes you have to work on maybe moving people out of some roles, you know. And that has to happen.
Tough times.
I thought what Ntesh was saying about learning from industries over and beyond your sphere was very interesting, because I just came out of a newspaper business, and it made me think that a lot of the solutions that the industry is discussing, you know, how we counter the threat that comes from, you know, smartphones, people consuming news on digital platforms, it's sort of an echo chamber. It's things we are talking amongst ourselves as an industry. And I can clearly see, you know, that danger, you know, whereby you get sort of blindsided and think your solutions lie where you are. But there's various other things that you need to be assimilating.
I actually thought Teta was going to say that. No, we're not going to emulate anyone else. We're going to just find the answers inside. But then your response was, we've got to find it outside our industry. Everything is connected anyway these days.
I mean, the financial services companies, they've gone through some of this in the past. You know, why don't we learn and take some of their lessons? Mm-hmm. You know, look at the healthcare industry, you know, the Discovery's office, where they are doing some great things. You know, we need to be bringing some of that internally.
You know. Do you mind being unpopular as a person?
Not at all. I cannot afford to do, you know, to be. Look, it's nice to people if they like you, but that's not what drives me. What drives me is what I believe is right. You know,
yeah, and that's. I mean, you have to cling on to that, I guess, because to take MTN where it needs to be, you will have to make some seriously unpopular decisions.
And we are.
Yeah, and
we are.
And then you need your team with you. I mean, it's such an audacious task, but so crucial, because this is a business. We can't afford it to go down. It's a great South African transformation story. And I want to take 2 minutes on that.
Yeah.
I mean, my impression was always that MTN is a great example of transformation, however one defines transformation, because obviously in South Africa it immediately goes black and white. It's much broader than that. Is it still an example of that? And how do you feel about that element of MTN?
I think it is. It's amazing how our customers, you know, how much our customers are rooting for us. They want us to be successful. You know, they keep giving us another chance and another chance. You know, why? Because they see us as being this company that represent Africa, that represent South Africa, that represent transformation. It's a good story they don't want to see this company failing. That is a great advantage, the benefit that we have as a business. We cannot let those customers down, which means our transformation has to be quick. They need to start to see the benefits of, you know, of the changes that we are making. That's why most of our initiatives are not like a one-year initiative. The results are going to come up in after a year. We are looking every week. There needs to be some. It's incremental changes. Every week there needs to be something new that is better for the customer. You know, well, that is how we are delivering. You know, when it comes to systems and comes to the experience that our customers are looking for.
So just a quick question here. How are you making your presence felt? Are you still going through a transition of your own here? Or, you know, there's already a stamp of the mark that says Teto is here. You know, this is how we're running with the program.
Look, for me, I've gone through some things like this many, many times in different organizations. The first thing you need to do is to have, you must know where you are going. Meaning you need to understand what is your strategy, what is your vision, what is your strategy. And we did that in the first 2 months when I got in the job. But we did it differently. We, instead of bringing only the people that are reporting to me to a strategy session, it was a strategy session which had 70 people. I went all the way down the organization to bring those general managers, those senior managers, to be part and parcel of crafting this strategy. Mm-hmm. Why was that important? First of all, they understand our challenges. So they are the ones we needed to be brutally honest about where we are and what our capabilities are. And they are the ones who managed to provide that. So where we are sitting now, we're sitting with an organization. 2 months after I joined, we had a clear strategy. We presented that strategy to the board. And we have been executing on that strategy, you know, for 4 months now. And you will see the results of that strategy when we announce our results, you know, in around the 2nd of March. You can then decide for yourself whether we are moving in the right direction or not. That's the beauty of working for a company that is listed. You know, everything is public. You know, you will see whether we're making progress or not.
Teto, just towards the end of our conversation, you even won this award, Oliver Transformation and Empowerment Award. Do you feel more of a weight on your shoulder to push transformation? How is corporate SA doing, do you think, when it comes to transformation? Too slow? Is there a lot of resistance? You deal with your peers, black and white, all over. What do you think? Where do we sit?
Look, for me, transformation, it depends. Transformation can mean many things to all sorts of people. But to me, what it means is that we are in an environment where largely the majority of our customers are a particular demographic. And if we are not reflecting that within our company, it's actually we are missing an opportunity, because we need to have that insight, because these are the people who are serving, you know. So by just excluding a certain segment of the population in terms of the thinking, you are shooting yourself in the foot. So for me, it is a business imperative, the transformation. Also, we have got a responsibility as a business, you know. We have so much unemployment in our country, and how we procure can help small businesses, can help small companies to be able to grow. So that's how I'm looking at it. Things like procurement, things like enterprise development, and skills development. These are the areas where I believe we can make the most. We can leverage the transformation agenda.
So when you look out the window there, slowly but surely we're getting small enterprise owners in there.
Yes.
We have a small live audience. In the next hour, we've got a business masterclass. We speak to an expert from USB. And then about an hour from now, we engage them. They engage the panel, you know, and they pitch their business for 30 seconds. So we have a live sort of enterprise development thing going on here, which is really exciting. And you know, and that's the essence of transformation, of Triple BEE.
Is
actually there to develop. And there's a lot of good in that.
But there must be a business model behind those companies. It should not be, if I'm not giving this business, it's going to go down. They must be able to survive without you. You know, they must provide something of value.
All right, final leadership message, inspirational thought. We usually have at the end of the show what we call Sibanye Executive Leadership Inspirational Thought. So under that sort of feature, do you have any message, any inspirational thought for leaders out there?
Look, for me, there's something that I do a lot, and I'm going to go back to that. Listening is so critical. If you are a leader, it's something that is critical. So I say listening is love, and love is listening. And really, we need to pay attention to what our customers are looking for. We need to pay attention to what our employees want, bring their ideas in, so that you bring all of that together. Listening to me is so central in terms if one chooses to be a leader versus being the one who's always talking all the time.
Mteto Nyati, thank you so much. Here's another thought by Mark Kutafani. You are not a leader if you have not established trust. And if you don't listen, I don't think you establish trust. That was Mteto Nyati, the CEO of MTN SA. Thank you so much, Alice. Thanks. Louis,
Thank you.
That's our Leadership Masterclass. We're taking a quick break, and then we start our Business Masterclass for the next hour or so with USB Ed, and eventually we interview an SME owner, which would be a fascinating one. And we then engage our SME audience after they pitch their business for 30 seconds. Please stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.